Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm PJ Brandimarty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte. Brothers, welcome.
Thank you, PJ.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.
That was, I guess it is Spanish Thursday, so that was a great Spanish accent.
It is.
I always feel,
well, Alfonso complimented me a couple of shows ago on how I pronounced his name.
Because when I introduce myself, I like to say, hi, my name is Alfonso Gomez, but it is Alfonso Gomez.
It's Alfonso.
Yeah, that's right.
That's your name.
That is.
My name was almost Paolo, but that didn't happen, so... welcome everybody. Let's start off with a prayer today. Britt, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Gladly. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, as we come before you today on this day, we give you thanks for all your many blessings that you pour out, all your graces that you bestow upon us. And we ask that you be here with us today as we talk about priestly life and really being able to explain and reminisce about our different experiences. And we ask that you, in a special way, pour out your graces upon all of your priests all over the world, that they may grow closer to you and love you as your mother does, and really come to know you and share the truth with everyone. We ask this as all things through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So, yes, as Britt said, today we're going to be talking about the life of the priest. We were thinking about what to talk about, and I realized that for me, for most of my life, I saw the priest as the nice guy on Sunday, and I just kind of assumed that's all he did. So we're going to talk about a little bit of what priestly life is like. Give a disclaimer, obviously none of us are priests yet, but we've all had...
it's a little bit speculative.
Yeah, it's a little bit speculative, but we have some good evidence. I think we can make a fairly academically defensible...
Case here.
Yeah. So none of us are priests, but all of us have been seminarians for at least 5 years.
That's correct.
Yeah. So we've had what are called summer assignments. In fact, many of you may have met seminarians at your home parishes who are doing summer assignments. Alfonso, do you want to talk a little bit about what summer assignments are for seminarians?
Right. So during the summer, our individual bishops will place us at a parish in order for us to have that kind of experience to what we've learned in seminary, to actually put it, you know, let the rubber hit the road, as one says, and, you know, see what we need to work on, see what our strengths are at as well. And so in these past 4 years in seminary formation, I've had 3 summer assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And my first one was working at a Hispanic parish, which was pretty awesome, pretty excellent. I kept very busy there. And last year, I was at a Vietnamese parish where it was all Vietnamese all the time. And that was pretty awesome as well, because, I mean, I felt like I was in a different country. Mm-hmm. And I got to learn a little bit of Vietnamese while I was there. And the food is obvious. I don't even have to defend that. I mean, that's just hands down. It's excellent. The desserts are pretty cool, too. And then this past year, I was in Boone, North Carolina, the parish that's close to App State, and that was a pretty nice summer. I very much enjoyed this past summer. But anyways, that's been my experience.
Uh-huh. What were you doing this last summer?
So this past summer, it's in the mountains of North Carolina, which is it's 10 degrees cooler than Charlotte, so it was perpetually 70 degrees, and I call it the Shire out there because it's that's exactly how living is out there in the mountains.
All you do is eat, and it's beautiful.
You have healthy and edifying leisure out there. I did a lot of reading, a lot of praying, and I did get to teach a few classes to the parishioners there, but because the university was out, there wasn't that many students to actually work with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was still a very good summer.
Yeah, excellent. Britt, do you want to tell us a little bit about some of your summer assignments?
Sure. And really, so when we're talking about summer assignments, really the thing to keep in mind is we are dedicating our full lives to serving the church. So when we go home, there are some of those who are younger formation who might go and get a job at McDonald's or some other kind of fast food or just working and making some money. But for those of us who are actually a little further along, we have these summer assignments, which the best way to describe them is kind of like a 10-week internship where we are actually shadowing a priest. Obviously, we're studying all these things, and they're very, very much up in the clouds, so it's great to actually get your feet into a parish and actually do some of these things that you might be studying to do. And so we're really putting, like Alfonso said, the rubber to the road, where mm-hmm. we're putting this to practice. And really, I guess the best way to do it is trying on the shoes of the priest.
Right.
You
know,
really,
that's right.
Walking a mile in his shoes. So I actually did an extra assignment. I guess I needed more formation than Alfonso.
Actually, that was kind of virtuous of you, because I remember that. It was our first year.
Was our first year.
And you volunteered.
And yeah, exactly. And so it wasn't required for me to have an assignment, but I elected, I mean, it was either that or really just sit at home, and that's just going to be, I mean, we always say in spiritual life, you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. And if I was at my parents' house, I would be definitely moving backwards, where like, oh, let's see what's going on with the Kardashians this week.
Oh, probably very little, I would hazard to say.
Nothing important.
Exactly.
Nothing significant.
Exactly. No. So I've had four assignments where I've gone. First one was in Asheville, North Carolina, so in the mountains. And then I went to Salisbury, North Carolina. Then I actually, the year before Alfonso, so last year, I had the same assignment he had just the year before. So I was in Boone. I was with Father Matthew Codd up in the mountains there. And then this past year, I was in Charlotte with Father Reed at St. Anne's. And really, what you're doing in these summer assignments, you're shadowing the priest, you're following him, and seeing how each priest, and this is why it's important why you have a number of different assignments, how each priest lives out his priestly ministry. And so there's a number of things you learn, a number of things that you really see, and it's not all, of course, it's not always going to be great things, but you learn both positives and negatives. And mm-hmm. really, this is where, for me personally, you start building and creating your priestly identity, taking things right. from each and every priest, where, oh, I like how Father such and such does this, or mm-hmm. I don't know about that, or Father such and such has a great idea about how to run the school that's attached to his parish. And so you really start incorporating all these things and making them your own, and take that to prayer and really start to develop your priestly identity in a sort.
Yep. And I can echo that. I think I have the winning record for...
It's not a contest, well, because I lose.
It can be. I've just finished my sixth summer assignment. I actually had a summer assignment before I was officially a seminarian. So I spent two summers at my home parish, St. Matthew's in Gahanna, mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. And then I went up to St. Vincent de Paul in Mount Vernon, mighty St. Vincent. And then I spent a summer at St. Paul's in Westerville, which was a lot different, both in the distance from the city as well as the number of people. St. Paul's is, for those of you who are unfamiliar, and I can't imagine anybody who is unfamiliar, but it is one of the largest, if not the largest, parishes in the state of Ohio. So it's so
now,
it's
if big, we're going to have a contest, let's move that into the country.
Country, yeah.
And actually, coincidentally, St. Matthew's, my home parish, I believe is the largest in the nation at 11,000 families.
Whoa,
so...
Whoa.
Checkmate, I win.
Well, my diocese is older, so we didn't have the opportunity to just force everybody into one big mega parish. So
it really is just people who've moved from Ohio down to North Carolina.
No, that's blasphemy. Nobody's moving to glorious North Carolina from Ohio.
Glorious.
Yep, he had the adjective glorious.
But I was also able to serve at St. Joseph Cathedral. In addition to working with some of the diocesan offices. And then just this last summer, I had a great assignment at on the east side, St. Thomas the Apostle Church, which is a beautiful, beautiful little church out on East Fifth Avenue. And it's a wonderful community, very diverse. I don't know if there's a single country represented in the state of Ohio that isn't represented amongst the population there. And it's just a great group of people, and I learned a lot from them. But I can really echo the sentiment that my brothers here have been saying. We do learn a lot. You're listening to the Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm PJ Brandy Marty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte. So we're talking about priestly life, and we've spent the first 10 minutes of the show giving our credentials for how we actually are able to know what the life of a priest is. But being in these summer assignments is crucial because at the seminary, we're essentially at school. Mm-hmm. And seminary mm-hmm. life, there are many aspects of it that are going to be the same. Waking up early, attending Mass every day, and just fulfilling your responsibilities, eating decently, and then more prayer, and then bedtime. Yes. Just going to move on from that.
Had to catch himself on the food, not using decent as an extra. But no, food is great at the Josephinum, and we are very well fed.
Indeed. some of us more well fed than others. But so back to the life of the priest.
There are
many aspects that are going to be the same, but most of them are going to be different. And the life of a seminarian is not the life of a priest. Any priest will tell you that, and any seminarian will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So these summer assignments give us a lot of insight into what we're doing. So really, the question I had going into seminary was, what does a priest really do all day?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is a ton. Just to give you an idea of the average day that I had at my last summer assignment, St. Thomas has a very small staff. There's only two or three employees, as well as the pastor. So my average day there, my entire assignment was shadowing the pastor, Father Mike Gentry. He's a wonderful priest, really great teacher. And what I wanted to do was shadow him to find out, what do you do all day? So on an average day, we would wake up and we would pray morning prayer and in community with myself, with Father, and with the permanent deacon who was assigned to that parish would actually come down and pray every day with us at 7 o'clock. And we would have one or two parishioners join us every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd go have Mass, come back, have a quick bite to eat for breakfast, and Father would be in meetings, usually one or two meetings in the morning, meeting with various parishioners about various things. And then we would head out, and every day was filled with something, whether it was going to say Mass at a nursing home, whether it was going to the hardware store to pick up a part that was needed for the vacuum cleaner so that we could make it work. Father Gentry, if you're listening, I'll let everyone know we spent a lot of time cleaning out a leaky roof. So there were many times we had that. We were down many hours spent with a shop vac, mm-hmm. Vacuuming up water from the leaking from the church. There was downtime, and a lot of that time is spent praying. What would be downtime for a lot of other people for a priest is time in prayer and time reading both books on the spiritual life, as well as books on professional books. We need to know what's going on in the world, so we're constantly reading news reports. We're constantly reading the writings of the Holy Father, the writings of the various Vatican departments, mm-hmm. the writings of our own bishop. Bishop Campbell is, and the diocese puts out a number of things, and we're constantly doing that. And every single night there's a meeting. There's always a meeting for something, whether it's mm-hmm. The RCIA program or whether it's preparing for religious education next week. So when most people, they work their 9-to-5 job, because that's what almost everyone does, the priest's day really gets busy at around 6 o'clock at night, and he's usually going until 9:30 when those meetings are over.
Right.
So it's the day gets broken up a little bit, but it's a long day.
And then he's on call at night.
I've been woken up many times by my phone, but it's never so frightening as when you get that phone call in the middle of the night and it's the rectory phone and it's somebody who's just been in an accident and you need to go and anoint them. Thankfully, that didn't happen very often this summer, but it's happened quite a bit at many of my other assignments. Mm-hmm. And usually when those are difficult calls, because usually priests don't get called at 2 a.m. in the morning when it could be something that can wait till the next day.
Yeah, so it's not just a 2 a.m. phone call to, hey, let's chat. How's your day been going?
Yeah.
And thank God for the grace of orders, because
it's wonderful.
You know, to have that, you know, to be able to go out there and just, you know, function you know, just to be able to be present to them, let alone to minister to someone at that time, because you're, you know, you're tired, you've had a long day. But like the grace of orders really gives you that, you know, the energy, the capacity to do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Alfonso, can you talk a little bit more about that grace of orders? I was going to bring it up, but since you did, I think it's a...
Right, definitely. So with we know with every
note to self, don't bring anything up.
we know so that with every sacrament, there's a specific grace that's given, and what that grace does is it empowers the person to be able to fulfill whatever their particular vocation is. Specifically for marriage, when you receive the sacrament of matrimony, you receive both spouses receive the grace to be able to live out the conjugal life, to pursue holiness together. For the priest. And for the deacon, for the bishop as well, they receive the grace to be able to fulfill all the obligations in their offices, and it's up to them to cooperate with that grace so that they can do those things that are proper to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the grace of orders it's very real. I remember I remember our preaching professor, Father Baker, talking to us about, you know, when we're practicing preaching at the Josephinum, we really aren't preaching, we're just making a speech, and it's not until you really get the grace of orders that you're really able to preach properly. Mm-hmm.
And I've always heard, you know, some of the men who we've studied with who are now ordained, they speak about the reality of the grace of orders. They say things that they found difficult. Now, for some reason, it's much more easier for them to do, and they know it doesn't come from them. It comes from a higher source, and we know very well that source is God.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Britt, what things have you observed in the life of a priest that you found really, really fulfilling while you were at your summer assignments?
So, one of the things that I've noticed over the number of assignments I've had is no two priests are the same. You were talking about the typical day at your most recent assignment. But I guarantee it wasn't the same as your time at St. Paul's or even
St.
Matthew's.
Oh, yeah, not at all. Every parish is different, and every priest is different in the way they address things. And there's no one way to do it.
Exactly.
There's no right answer, and that's the joy of the church.
And that to me, I don't know if fulfilling is the right word, but that to me is great, because I know we keep saying Alfonso and I are diocesan brothers. He's going to live out his priesthood drastically different than I will. And I know that we can still both be very successful priests. And that to me is very encouraging to, as I've seen in the different assignments I've had, that I don't have to be in meetings all day. I can, if I'm better at going to visit people in the hospital, then I can make that part of a more important focus of my priesthood. Or if I am comfortable being in the meeting settings, or maybe I'd rather be in the confessional for 12 hours a day, like St. John Vianney was, which... I haven't experienced the confessional on that side of it, so I don't know exactly how much that would take out of you. But, and it's really great to see that. I mean, just be yourself, and you'll be able to. I mean, you have to cooperate with the grace that we're just talking about.
No, and that's truly the joy that the church. When I said there's joy in that. No right answer. I don't mean to say that there are no right answers in the church. What I mean to say by that is everybody is different. Every man, and it's you would be shocked by the dichotomy of people that are at the Josephinum. It is so, like, personality wise, it's a full spectrum,
right?
And there are guys that you would. It's crazy because there's so many talents, there's so many gifts, and so across so many broad spectrums. We have guys who were doctors, who were lawyers, who were heavy into business. We have guys who, I swear, have never missed a day of praying at least 3 hours a day. They're that holy.
More contemplative. Yeah.
And there are introverts, there are extroverts, and God calls all types of men to the priesthood. Mm-hmm. And just as he gives the deacon and the priest special graces in the grace of orders, he also gives the bishop special graces in the bishop's choices of which priests go to which parishes is phenomenally important. And I think I could really encourage our listeners, the best thing to do always is to pray for your priests, but also pray for your bishop.
Right.
And ask your bishop to send you the priest that you're that your parish needs. It may not be the priest that your parish wants, but it may be the priest that your parish needs. Mm-hmm. And I can say with confidence, Bishop Campbell is truly has exercised this ministry beautifully. The priests that I know personally very, very well, I couldn't imagine them anywhere else. It's exactly where they need to be at this point in time. And that's the joy of these graces.
Right. And so going back to your question about what was fulfilling about these summer assignments, it really is just being with the people, which is what ultimately every priest is called to do. There are different ways of doing that, as you were saying, where I might be more extroverted and Alphonse might be more introverted or vice versa, although I don't think it is vice versa in that particular case.
No, not at all.
just given our own experience with the same assignment. I think Father Codd had to stay in his room for about 10 to 12 weeks once I left just to have his own time, whereas I don't think you guys were really...
He literally said, wow, you're very different, Britt. And he said, Britt just kind of occupied all this space right here. And
oh, now it sounds like I just took over his rectory. So really being with the people was really a great experience, and every time I go back, in fact, it really... We're in these classes, especially now as we're getting further along into our studies where you're studying Christology, which, as you can imagine, understanding how the divine and human natures of Jesus Christ interact in mm-hmm. one person, that's some pretty lofty ideas and kind of very high in the clouds. So to really get back into the parish and get your feet on the ground and interact with these people that you're studying to serve mm-hmm. is really fulfilling, because and as soon as I've had... At the end of my first assignment, I knew this is where I was supposed to be. This is my vocation, because I drew energy from serving the people. And now each year around the April or March range, when you go back for Easter and then you have to come back for a couple weeks of classes and exams, I start to get a little antsy where I'm ready to be back out in the parish. I want to be with the people, what I'm studying to do, rather than just, because I'm not an academic, I don't really see myself as one who's, I want to be in the classroom 24/7. I want to learn new concepts. Not that I don't want to learn, but for me, it's fulfilling actually being with the people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And it's, so what is a priest? A priest, by definition, just using the standard overall definition, is one who offers sacrifice. So the Catholic priesthood is so unique in that the priest's sacrifice is it's both the sacrifice of Christ when he celebrates the Mass, and it's the sacrifice of his own life. Mm-hmm. But I truly believe this. Men who are called to the priesthood get so much joy out of that self-sacrifice that the grace of orders really gives you. It's almost as if it wasn't a sacrifice. It's almost as if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It still is, and there are hard days in priesthood, many hard days, just like there are hard days in marriage, and there are hard days when you're... when you're single, and there's hard days in all vocations, but the priesthood and the graces that come with it really are very fulfilling. As I said earlier, there's no loneliness, but there is solitude. But it's
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. The seminary can be difficult because, it's not the priesthood yet. And for guys who are called to the priesthood, especially at our level, I think Father Dean Mathewson, our great, great apostolic director who taught us really everything we know about hospital ministry, he's the hospital chaplain mm-hmm. here in the diocese. Mm-hmm. He said that. He said, when you're getting to the level that we're at, we are, the three of us who are talking are months away from ordination of the diaconate and about a year and a half away from being ordained priests. Mm-hmm. This is where frustration can set in, because we want it and we know that we're called to it.
Yeah.
And because we're not yet there, it can be difficult.
It's trying your patience.
It is, but it's a good thing, because it's confirming for whenever my spiritual director tells me, whenever you're frustrated about that, that's actually a good thing at where we're at now. Because we are called to this, and our mm-hmm. frustration is not with the events that are happening. Our frustration is that we're not able to do what we so desire to do, which is to serve the people of God and the priesthood.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
and speaking of that, in these summer assignments, obviously we're not priests. And mm-hmm. so it's always, PJ mentioned earlier that yes, the Diocese of Charlotte is a young diocese. So we do have this opportunity where we can educate people with really what the priesthood is, because they come up and oh, Father is sick today. Well, why can't you offer Mass? And, well, I'm not a priest.
And that's where those difficulties come from. I listened to this really awesome talk this summer by Dr. Bram Petrie. I don't know if you guys mm-hmm. heard of him. And he said, well, you know, as we know from our sacraments class, the moment of ordination is the laying on of hands.
Right.
And he makes the connection with the Old Testament that in the Old Testament, whenever a high priest would lay hands on an animal or on a person, it was because they were going to be put to death. The animal
oh, wow.
as sacrifice, and the person, just if they had committed a crime, then they would be put to death. And so when the bishop lays hands on you, in a certain sense, you're being put to death, you're dying to yourself. And when you lay down, that's also like a symbolism of death, a death to self, and that being a living sacrifice, as St. Paul says in the in his epistles.
That makes this summer a lot scarier now.
Well, I am very willing to die to myself so I can serve as a priest, and I know both of you gentlemen are too. And
yeah,
it's going to be great. I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy we were able to talk to you, everybody, today about a little bit about the life of the priest. Hope we cleared up some things and answered some questions you may not have even known that you had. Before we leave today, I would like to close us in prayer, and I'm going to ask Alfonso to say a prayer for us. Alfonso.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God our Father, please send us holy priest. Offer the sacred and Eucharistic heart of Jesus. Offer the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary in union with Saint Joseph. Amen.
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 In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thanks very much, everyone. May God bless you.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni,